Worried about your future in tech? Master new skills, accelerate your team's impact, and redefine what's possible with Pluralsight. We're more than just another online learning platform. We're shattering the skills gap and shaping future generations of technologists. Transform your work. Transform your team. Ready to tap in? Visit us at Pluralsight.com to learn more.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/audioboom.
Thank you for listening to this podcast from TRE, Talk Radio Europe, your voice in Spain and around the world. For more information, please visit tre.radio.
TRE in the afternoon, presented by Hannah Murray.
Good afternoon. You're listening to Women Talk. With me in the studio today, Barbara Holland-Davis, Laurie Knight and Andrea Stevens. Hello, ladies.
Hello.
Thank you all for coming in. If you are listening at home and you'd like to get involved, you sure can. Here's how.
To contact TRE, please call 952 78 4000. Email studio@tre.radio. Send us a WhatsApp on +34 645 99 67 95.
What a beautiful day, it's a wonderful life.
Now, I always like to start with an article about food, if I can find one, and I did. This article reads, those with eyes bigger than their bellies may want to think twice before sitting down to a roast dinner at One Village Pub. The Star Inn at Vogue, near Redruth in Cornwall, penalises customers who leave too much of the all-you-can-eat carvery. Verity Farmer told on social media of her shock at being charged an extra £4.80 after she and her daughter did not finish their £12-a-head meals. But the landlord, Mark Graham, responded by describing the amount as pure waste. He said, if you leave a few spuds, no problem. You may return to the carvery as many times as you like. You can pile it as high as you like, just as long as you eat it. The pub insisted that the rule is clearly displayed. Good for them, I say.
Absolutely.
Yeah?
Absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, definitely. It's true. People, I mean, we've all done it, been to it all you can eat and gone, ooh, and got over excited. And it's horrible when there's so much waste, so...
But they make it clear that you can return to the table and get more of it. So
yeah.
Why do you need to go mad on the first time?
Exactly.
Just thinking, oh, well, I'll just get thrown away. Years ago, there were always people saying they're starving in the places like Biafra.
Yeah, exactly.
Do not, you know, you appreciate what
Definitely.
You've got on your plate. To just be so wasteful, it is wrong.
Yeah.
I agree with them.
Yeah. There's actually, I've been to a restaurant in Marbella where it's an all-you-can-eat thing, but it's not a buffet. You order off the menu, and we went with a small group of people and we ordered, you know, a few dishes that we wanted to try, but you can only order more once you've eaten what you've ordered.
That's a good idea.
And I thought that was a great idea. So,
yeah.
you know, you keep ordering however hungry you are and you can try. It was a Japanese place. It was all sushi and things like that and dim sums. And so there were lots of picky bits. You just keep ordering, but only once you've eaten everything.
Yeah.
And I thought that was great.
That's
good for them.
Yeah, that's a really good idea because, you know, at the end of the day, people are greedy and our eyes are bigger than our bellies sometimes.
Yeah.
And it, like you say, it's just wasteful and... I don't know. I think that's a really good idea. But then also to have that penalty of, you know, if you're going to leave it and then you're going to pay for it, then maybe it will make people think twice about piling up.
Definitely. You know. I think so. Because the mistake that people... I may include myself in this. I'm not sure how honest I want to be. But the mistake that people can often make is in a buffet, if you have like a cold buffet and then a hot buffet, I'm sure everybody's done. You go to the cold buffet first. You think, oh, I'll have some salad and, you know, have some healthy things first of all. And then as you're eating it, you're thinking, oh, I'm getting quite full with this. I want to make sure I leave plenty of room for the main course. So it's easy to kind of overfill on the starters and think, well, I don't want to eat all this. You know, you've got pasta salads and things like that, which can be really filling.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then think, oh, well, I don't want to eat it all because I want to. So, yeah, I think it's great. Pay if you don't eat it.
But it's very easy when there's so much that looks really nice. You just have a little bit of that, a little bit of that, a little bit of that. Mm. By the time you finish your plate, it's so piled high. It's very difficult then to work through it also.
And it's so funny how with buffets, we put things in on our plate and combine things that we would never do normally. Potatoes and pasta. Yeah. I mean, we would never eat and rice and, you know, and then some fish and some chicken. And I mean, it's
pizza,
yeah, exactly. We would never normally eat all of those things. But when it's a buffet, you go, oh, a little bit of pizza or jacket potato.
Yeah. We've all done it.
Yeah. It's funny, isn't it? Love it. Okay, this is an interesting one. Talking about trends to do with interior design that are making a comeback. But these are sort of trends from... yesteryear, shall we say. And the woman who's written this article is a TV interiors guru, and she's not on board with a lot of these things that are coming back. So I wondered whether you like any of these things, have always had these things in your house, not really bothered either way, don't care what trends are, and just go with what you like or whatever. One of the terms they talk about in the article is granny chic, which made me chuckle. Things like doilies.
Well, I'm a granny now. And
have you got doilies?
No, I don't.
Maybe you should have.
Be trendy.
Yes.
Yeah. It's funny, isn't it? So when you become a gran, you don't suddenly start doing things that you think of as gran things,
I haven't bought a twin set and got some pearls or a rocking chair, and I can't knit.
Well, there you go.
I'm not really a very qualified granny at all.
Another thing they talk about is avocado bathrooms.
Oh, I've read this, yes. Well, I was
around when they were popular.
Yeah. They're coming back.
They're apparently so, yeah.
I can't imagine people going out there and getting one. I mean, there must be some people that still have them.
Absolutely.
I can remember my grandparents actually chose, they bought a new house obviously many, many years ago, and they chose a mustard coloured bathroom.
Ooh.
And I remember at the time thinking, oh, what a fantastic colour, that looks amazing.
Yeah,
with gold taps with the whale taps and
very posh.
Yes. Well, thankfully,
yes.
Yeah. It's funny, isn't it? But I mean, with interior design, I mean, there are some people that are obsessed with trends and will, you know, redo their house obviously if you've got the money, every few years and, you know, look at the latest kind of designs.
But you've got to like it, surely. You've got to look at it and think, I like it. You've got to live with it. You've got to look at it every day.
Yeah,
you've
true.
Got to like it.
Yeah.
I'm not sure.
Do you ever get inspired by other people? Do you go to other people's homes and go, I love what they've done here? I do. I like having a bit of a nose.
I love bathrooms. I don't know what it's about bathrooms. I love bathrooms.
Yeah. It's always fascinating.
White ones. No.
But it's, with white a bath and sink, etc., you can add colour with the mats on the floor and your toweling and that sort of thing. And then you can change it very easily, can't you? You know,
you can put one of those knitted dolls over the toilet rolls, and obviously it's coming
back. You're going back to granny chic.
Yes, definitely. But yeah, I love doing that because lots of houses and apartments and things, everything is white in Spain, isn't it? And that's quite sort of normal. So you jazz it up with a bit of colour. Mm-hmm. Our downstairs bathroom is all white, but we have blues in there. It's, you know, it's all because it's a bathroom, you know, I wanted to make it all blue. So there's blue ornaments and a blue candle and blue soap and blue towels, and it's all kind of, so it's... It
we obviously need avocado now.
Well,
you're dated.
I'm dated with my blues. I'm so old-fashioned. And another one on interiors, which made me chuckle. The headline is, "Are your bookshelves really just wallpaper?" She was derided on social media last week when she was accused of ordering the books on her shelves by colour. But it seems that Liz Truss is in good company, with a survey suggesting many of us use books just to boost the look of a room. Researchers found almost 1 in 10 say they use books as a form of decoration without actually reading them, while 9% pick covers because they will complement the aesthetic of their homes. 14% choose books to make them look more intelligent or well-read. How do we feel about books in a lounge?
It's like people who used to put Madonna's sexy book on the coffee table to make them look cool.
I don't know anybody that did that. I actually got mixed with the right people.
It must just be me.
Don't know whether that says something about you or your friends or both.
Mostly, although I've got a lot of books, when I was younger, I always fancied the idea of having a room that was just a library.
Yeah.
But now everything's digital. I read every day, and they're all from the e-library.
Mm.
I love the e-library.
It's so easy, isn't it?
Even though I'm a granny, I've embraced quite a lot of technology where it suits, and brilliant. You know, I can take so many books with me on a Kindle or on my iPad.
Yeah.
So you don't really get a lot of outside covers to stand up looking intelligent or whatever.
I do have to say, when there's somebody being interviewed on the television, I'm fascinated by what's in the background.
Yes, when it's a Zoom call.
Yes,
I'm they always have books behind them.
Yes, or even the pictures or whatever. I'm always fascinated to see. Because everything's always so placed and you just say, oh, why is that there? And especially if it's their book, there's just
there in the background. You wonder how much time and effort they've taken with their background.
A lot. Some of
but
them
there's been
lot.
Some hilarious videos over the years during the pandemic, particularly, of people who had naughty things in the background that they hadn't put away. It's like, oh, look what she's got on her shelf, which is ever so amusing. But I mean, I love books, and I always wanted to have books on display in the living room, and we've sort of got less and less over the years, because there was a stage where we had loads on like every wall, and I put them into categories. So we have a cabinet that has kind of small square parts to it, and in one side there's kind of house and garden books, in another side there's travel books, so they're kind of intersections, and I really enjoy doing that. But I don't look at them from one day to the next.
Is that for your benefit, though, or is that for when your visitors come round to say, oh, look at Hannah, she's really well read.
What about the kitchen? Have you got lots of cookery books?
Loads. Oh, yes. We have a whole bookcase in the kitchen which is just full of cookery books.
How many have you used?
Don't look at me, it's my husband that does all the cooking. I've bought most of them for him. But no, he does look at them when we're, you know, if we're doing a dinner party or whatever, and we think of a theme, if we decide Chinese, he'll get his Chinese books out and flip through, and definitely.
But definitely, it's having the books on the shelves now, it's more of a fashion, more of a design statement, isn't it? And I think it comes from people like Kelly Hoppen, who, I mean, she's the perfect person if you want to dress a bookshelf, and it's all neutral colours, and she's very specific where each book goes, and it's in all the design books as well. So it's become more of that, and as you said, because now we can just read a book digitally, there's less need to have so many in your house, and it is about, well, does it coordinate with the curtains and the sofa?
I can't imagine buying a book because it has a beige back to it that matches my curtains.
Oh, I'm sure people do.
Unbelievable.
Is it feng shui?
Well, yes, exactly.
No, I can't buy that book. Waterstones ought to, you know, look in on this. If that book doesn't appear feng shui, you know, we won't stock it.
Yes, it needs to be in the right position in the book, in the bookshop and all of that. Oh, it's very complicated, isn't it? But yes, I love a book. I love seeing books when I go to people's houses. If there's a bookshelf, that's where you'll find me. Kind of, you know.
Are you looking to see how intelligent they are? Or
definitely not. No, definitely not looking for intelligence. Just looking for
what their interests.
Yeah,
are.
What their interests
who they,
are.
Who they like reading.
Yeah, I like to go. Oh, I've got that one as well. Isn't he great? Or whatever, you know. Chat. Oh, I've wanted to read that. What's that like? Or you know, it's a good conversation.
Yeah,
piece.
It's another insight into their personality.
Yeah,
isn't it?
Definitely. Because it used to be music. We always used to have CDs or even records on display. And again, you could flick through that. But I mean, nobody does that anymore, do they? Hardly.
It's coming
ever.
Back. It's coming back.
It's all retro, all the time retro. We better take a break.
Hannah Murray on TRE in the afternoon.
Good afternoon. You're listening to Women Talk with me in the studio today, Barbara Holland Davis, Laurie Knight and Andrea Stevens. There's an article here talking about fashion and iconic fashion. Been voted the most iconic fashion items of all time. So I've got 20 here. We won't talk about all of them. But number one are Levi 501 jeans. Now, I've never owned a pair of Levi 501 jeans.
Neither have I, but I'd love to. I would love to.
Really?
I'm not sure I would look quite the part in them, but I would love to.
I certainly wouldn't. I've never been what you'd call 501 size.
Right.
I have never worn jeans.
No?
Well, they've never appealed to me. I don't know. I know they're iconic. I know they're a big deal, but I don't know. I've just never fancied any.
I've tried them on once, and when I was quite young, I had an older boyfriend, and he said he used to wear Levi 501s, and he said, "Oh, you know, have you not got any?" And he was really surprised that I bought my jeans from, you know, a high street store, and he said, "Oh, we have to go and get you a pair of Levi 501s." So we went to this shop, and I tried them on, and they really did nothing for me. So we ended up buying a pair of, I can't remember whether they were 502s or 504s or whatever, but a different style of Levi or different model of Levi's that fit me better. But
yeah,
it was
you
just
used to
like,
be a certain shape, I think. And
yeah,
if you're not
yeah,
that shape,
really.
They just don't.
No,
they don't look right. Yeah.
So I kind of don't get it really. I've never. I like jeans. I have lots of jeans. I sort of live in jeans in the winter. But I'm quite happy to buy cheap and cheerful jeans, to be honest.
But you get sick of wearing them. So if you don't spend a lot of money on them, you don't feel like you've got to keep them.
Just a couple to mention. This Chanel little black dress. Well, I've had lots of little black dresses in my time, but certainly not from Chanel.
No. I think the Primark little
dress does just as well. Yeah,
absolutely.
Fraction of the price. Converse All-Star trainers. Yeah, I have a few Converse.
Too flat for me. Yeah, too flat.
Okay. Mm. Yeah, yeah, they're comfy shoes, a sort of alternative to trainers. I like wearing them. I wouldn't wear trainers out for dinner, but I would wear Converse, to the right kind of restaurant. Obviously, you can wear Converse and jeans, and it's, you know, if you don't want to wear heels, but you don't want to wear trainers, they're more of a kind of acceptable shoe.
Because they've not got that great, thick, chunky...
No.
They look a bit like tractor wheels from the side, don't they? They've got such indents in them. But my daughter would have always liked Converse.
My daughter can wear
quite a lot of different.
You can wear them with dresses and skirts as well. Absolutely.
Yeah, you can.
Nike Air Max 90s trainers.
No.
I wanted some in the 90s, but never got some and have never kind of gone there since. Ray-Ban aviators. To be honest with you, the aviator style or the shape is pretty much the only shape that suits me in terms of sunglasses. But again, I'm not obsessed about buying the Ray-Bans, but just ones that are that particular shape are definitely the ones that suit me the most. But I'm not fussed about designers.
Well, my problem with sunglasses is I sit on them, I lose them, I drop them, so I don't tend to spend
a lot
of money on
300 quid on one,
God,
do you?
No. They can
definitely
be
not. So expensive. expensive.
Very.
So expensive. When I
just with a plain lens.
Yeah.
I've got a prescription lens in my driving sunglasses.
Yeah.
I think my brother's got that as well. And even I've got reading glasses that have got sun
protection
kind of, yeah. on them, so that I can read comfortably,
mm-hmm.
But protecting my eyesight as well.
Mm. And they're a lot more expensive, aren't they?
Well,
because you're paying for the...
Yeah, but they're nowhere near as expensive as a Ray-Ban plain old lens.
No, fair enough.
So.
You're paying for the name, aren't you?
Definitely.
Yeah, I am.
Definitely.
Yeah.
What else is it going to... Oh, the Louboutin heels. Again, they're crazy money.
Yeah. They are. Do you know, I've got a pair of Louboutins. I got them for my a big birthday, treated myself.
Oh, nice.
I can't wear them.
No.
They're so uncomfortable.
They're look really great. High, aren't they?
Yes,
yeah, I mean...
They look fabulous, but they're just so unwearable. It's it's a waste.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, they look beautiful.
Can you resell them?
Possibly, but I possibly could, but every so often I just take them out of the box, look at them and think, yeah, I've got some Louboutin.
You're proud of yourself.
Yes.
It's a nice feeling, even if you can't wear them. I love that. So if anyone says, oh, I wish I had some Louboutin, you go, I've got some of them. And they look fab because you don't get any wear on them. Oh, I love it. Okay, going grey. I asked the guys about this on Men Talk last week, but I wanted to save it for the women because I figured the reaction could possibly be completely different for women. So the headline is, half of women spot their first grey hair in their early 30s. So the article talks about discovering your first grey hair can come as quite a shock. And obviously people go grey or not at all at completely different ages. You know, I know people, men and women, or more men to be honest than women, who have gone grey, completely grey in their 30s.
Mm-hmm.
And other people who you know, don't go grey into their 70s, possibly even 80s. So
yeah.
I think it's very attractive on a man. I think it's very, very attractive on a man. Yeah,
I do.
Yeah, and to be fair, it's quite popular at the moment for ladies to go a natural silver grey.
More and more people are, and I think it looks great. Because you can pay a lot of money to dye your hair ash blonde.
Yeah.
So I've said to a few female friends recently, oh, I love what you've done with your hair, thinking that they've dyed it ash blonde. Yeah, and they said, I've decided to go natural. And it's like, wow, look amazing.
Yeah.
I'm tempted, but because it's hard work. Once the greys start coming, you know, then thick and fast, and you think, oh, is this the right time? Should I change now? I actually said it to my hairdresser, and she, no, absolutely.
Your hairdresser said no.
Yeah. And I thought, oh, okay, I'll just keep paying all this money to have my roots done.
Oh, wow, that's probably why they wanted you to. Oh, gosh. So you're thinking of going natural?
Maybe not yet, but I'm definitely edging that way now. Yeah, definitely. It's hard work. It's hard to maintain.
Mm. My sister is doing it, and it's taken months.
Yeah, it does.
But she went through a period of, it was quite a lot of dark previous coloration that was coming out. But now, I said to her recently, oh, you've decided to put a fair colour on, and she said, no, I've not. It's just, this is all natural.
Lovely.
But it really suits her.
Yeah.
Once I think those last little bits of salt and pepper go, and it is completely grey, I think it will look really good.
Yeah.
But me, I'm 72 and I don't colour my hair. And
amazing.
I've got just little bits here and there coming through that I don't try and... I did at one point think, oh, I'll pull that out. But somebody said, for every one you pull out, two new white ones.
Oh, there you go.
Is that
true?
That's nonsense.
Yeah,
I'm going to say that.
I don't know.
Well, I heard it was seven more come back.
Definitely don't do it.
Yeah. Amazing, though. You're very lucky.
Donkey's years ago, my... hairdresser said to me, you won't go grey early, because as you say, some people, they're 30s and 40s, and they're virtually completely grey. But she had said, in my 20s or 30s, no, you won't be in one to go grey early. And there you go.
I think that's amazing that they can tell.
Absolutely.
Because I've been going to her regularly for a long time. I haven't been to the hairdressers well, in years. I cut it myself, but I've decided to give length a go.
Nice.
I'm just growing it a little bit. I trim it every so often.
Yeah. Wow, you're saving
another
yourself
thing,
an
you're
absolute
saying you spend
fortune.
A lot of money to go to a hairdresser.
Yeah. I mean, I go quite regularly, but speaking to friends of mine who live in London, and the money that they pay can be more than twice what I pay.
Yep.
Literally, the difference in cost is unbelievable.
Dearer in London.
Oh, yes.
Oh.
Yeah, they pay more than twice what I pay.
No, I pay a lot more here.
Do you really?
Yeah.
Wow. Well, let's take a break so we can ask each other how much.
TRE in the afternoon.
Good afternoon. You're listening to Women Talk with me in the studio today, Barbara Holland-Davis, Laurie Knight and Andrea Stevens. We've just been swapping stories and costs about hairdressers. What? How much? Oh, no. right, there was a kind of trend that went around on social media a good few months ago, and we talked about it on the programme, but it's come back because of various allegations and things that have been coming out in the news. It's the man versus bear. Has any of you heard of this man versus bear thing?
No, I've not heard of it, but it's interesting read.
Yeah. So basically, it's the idea that somebody poses the question to you, if you were found yourself alone in the woods, would you rather come face to face with a bear or a man that you don't know? And this question has been posed lots of times online. This particular clip on TikTok has been viewed more than 17 million times. An interviewer poses the question to each woman. Seven answer with little hesitation, saying the bear. And we've discussed this quite a few times. I've discussed it with lots of friends, male and female, and it's really fascinating hearing people's responses and their reasons why for the answer. And discussing it with men, all the men I've spoken to say quite quickly and obviously, well, clearly you're better off being stuck with a man than a bear, because a bear would eat you alive in seconds, whereas the man won't, you know. And they find it really obvious that the answer should be, of course, that you should prefer to be with a man than a bear. Laurie, you're shaking your head.
No, it would be over in seconds with a man. It could go on for, you know, if he's that way inclined, it could go on for hours. I would rather come face to face with a bear.
Wow.
Yeah, definitely.
Wow. The woman in this article says, you know, talks about this debate raging online. She says, you know, these scandals from the French rape trial to what's been coming out about Mohamed Al-Fayed. She says her generation fears what men are capable of if they think they can get away with it. And that's the whole kind of thing behind it. But it's, I think a lot of men find it weird to understand, but also incredibly sad that this is what a lot of women think and feel, that they'd automatically feel potentially more threatened by a man than a bear.
They did stipulate it was a grizzly bear. I might have taken my chances with a brown bear because they're not as aggressive as as a grizzly. But I'd like to think that a very sharp kick in the balls would stop a man and give you a chance maybe to run away, as long as you're not wearing yellow booties.
I mean, I have to say, when I was asked this question, I did say, so I thought about it for a couple, I didn't answer straight away, I thought about it for a few seconds, and then I said, I would rather be with a man than a bear. That was my answer, and my reason for it was because I felt that I'd like to think that I could reason with a man.
Talk down.
Yeah, I'd like to think that I'm a decent person. I've got a good head on my shoulders. I, you know, could give someone a good run for their money or whatever. And I'd like to think that I could get the man on the same kind of side as me and say, you know, we need to get out of this situation, you know, whatever the situation may be. They don't kind of stipulate and go into details about that, but, you know, go to survival mode. You know what I mean? That kind of thing. Whereas
I'd like to think you were right about there's a man walking around the woods on his own at night or whenever. Why? They're going, why are you?
Well, yeah, I mean, there's so many questions. Lost dog, and then he found himself lost, and it got dark, and you can tell I've been reading a lot lately.
That would be the one thing I would look for, though, if he had a dog. If he had a dog, then that would be different, because I think he's walking his dog. If he was on his own, yeah, that would be different again.
Yeah. What's your immediate reaction?
I mean, there's all sorts of possible scenarios why the guy is there. But what's interesting is the response you've had that's so different from a male perspective to female. So, you know, the guy's straight away, well, another bloke. But probably it has provoked a lot of, you know, the possibilities. Oh, gosh, that's how women must, you know, from our perspective. It would be frightening to see a man, whether he had a dog or not, and you're on your own in the middle of a forest. So I suppose your immediate, well, for me, my immediate answer would be, well, bear any day.
Really?
Yeah, straight away. But then when you think about, well, you know, what's the worst that can happen? But the worst could happen with either.
Yes. Yeah. Absolutely.
So,
I mean, if the other thing to think about, I mean, we're obviously getting very morbid here, but if a bear's going to go for you, and it'll be quick. Over quite quickly. Yes. Whereas all the horrendous things that could happen with a man, as you say, could go on for a long time, months, years. You know, absolutely. I mean, it's,
and you've got to live with that for months and years.
Yeah.
As well.
Yeah. Or the rest of your life, whatever. Yeah. Exactly.
But you've got to look at it when you said looking at it from a man's point of view. If a man was walking down a street and a man was behind him, he probably wouldn't think any more of it.
No.
If I'm walking down a street and the man's behind me, I am constantly aware of there's a man behind me and I need to get out of that situation.
Yeah.
So we view things very, very differently.
That's fair.
Yeah. Everything's changed. Since years ago, if you saw an adult, male or female, then there was somebody that you could go and ask for help. But doesn't exist anymore, does
no.
it? Ask a stranger for help. No, now it's all avoid at all costs.
And also, what I think is really sad, when a stranger asks you for help, we're all on guard totally, because there's so many cases of people being mugged or that kind of, you know, if someone asks you for help, don't trust them because they might be trying to take your watch or your handbag or whatever, which is awful because we naturally want to help people.
Yeah. Absolutely.
So it's a horrible situation that we're all in. You know, that whole don't talk to strangers thing that you heard as a kid, you know, being brought up, it seems like it's even more prevalent as an adult, which is bizarre and very sad.
Yeah.
We better take our last ad break.
Hannah Murray, TRE in the afternoon.
Good afternoon. You're listening to the last part of today's Women Talk. With me in the studio today, Barbara Holland-Davis, Laurie Knight and Andrea Stevens. The days of children's parties featuring musical chairs, pass the parcel and pin the tail on the donkey may be over, for today's youngsters now want DJs, private cinema screenings, go-karting and days out at Laser Quest. And when it comes to party food, ham sandwiches and cheese and pineapple hedgehogs are out in favour of sushi platters and pizzas. The survey of 2,000 parents of under 13s found that the average birthday now costs £524, including venue hire, gifts and entertainment. Do you remember the kids' parties that you had as a child?
Yeah, they were very different from my children's parties as well. They were getting to the stage that they were getting more expensive and they wanted different things. They wanted to go to the cinema. And, I mean, when I was a child, it was all jelly and ice cream at home with sandwiches and you play games. And
I remember loving, and I'd love to do this as an adult, to be honest, because it was such fun, where you had like a washing line and then bits of string with a ring donut hanging from it, and all the kids had to have their hands behind their back, and you had to not only eat the donut without any of it kind of falling on the floor, but you also weren't allowed to lick your lips. So you had all the sugar around your... I mean, what a great challenge.
I have done that, not on a piece of string, but I have done that challenge with an old boss of mine, and he was brilliant. He managed to do it, and I said,
It's so impossible
not to lick that sugar off your lips.
It's so hard. It's like a, just a natural kind of like breathing.
Impulse. Yeah. Yeah. Yes.
Well, that's great fun. That's,
isn't
that's,
it?
It's good, old-fashioned, very simple fun.
Yeah. Cheap.
Yes. As long as you don't buy Krispy Kreme, because those donuts would cost you about 50 quid, you know, just for the donuts.
Absolutely. But I mean, I've seen there seems to be, I mean, obviously people need to have a certain amount of money to do these things, but we see a lot of it in Marbella. People having parties for their kids, their young kids who won't remember what's going on, with like a big DJ, and all the adults are there drinking champagne and having a wonderful time, and it's a big expensive celebration for a little boy who's four or something.
That's for the adults though,
though,
isn't
totally.
It? That is not for the child.
Oh, that's what I mean.
Yeah,
that's
absolutely
it.
Not.
That's it. It's all like a showy kind of, you know, and they and adults go who don't even know the child, you know, it's it's a weird...
No.
I've seen that a few times in Marbella.
It's not for the child, is it? It's for the parents.
It's a strange time.
But, they miss out in some ways, because all, you know, the old-fashioned things and the simple parties and, you know, that's what... I don't remember worrying about food and... It was just a fun time.
Yeah.
And the food and all the rest of it was just, you know, an added extra, but you were just with friends having fun.
Yeah.
Well, people used to bring something, didn't they?
The party bags were great fun.
Yeah. People used to bring cakes and used to bring sandwiches and somebody used to bring the pop and, you know, so it made it was doable for everybody. It makes you wonder if we're going to have to go back that way, because people just don't have that sort of money, you know.
But that's what's difficult, I think. I guess with any sort of parenting, if you've got friends who have got more money or friends that have got less money, and you know, if your child is going to parties that are really expensive and lavish and a lot's going on, they're going to want the same thing, and they're going to be embarrassed if you're going, oh no, we're just having a little get together at the it must be really difficult trying to.
But it's worse when you think you have to do bigger and better.
Oh, absolutely. It must be really hard.
It's really hard for parents. Really hard. Yeah.
Definitely. But the idea of having a DJ at a kid's party is hilarious. But they do, don't they? I mean, you just put a CD on.
Oh, absolutely.
Or your whatever on the computer. Yeah. It's just so easy, isn't it? Okay. I've got a few different articles on this subject. It's a big subject that's being talked about a lot. So there's a lot of kind of different angles with this. This article, which was Saturday's paper, the civil servant who had sex with her boyfriend during a government Zoom call, the lawyer sipping wine in France, pretending to be at her keyboard. Labour thinks it boosts productivity, but here shameless staff reveal the real truth about, and then it says working crossed out, and it says shirking from home. And there's this big, big debate about working from home. Lots of people obviously were forced to work from home during the pandemic, and since the pandemic, a lot of people have restructured things within the business, within the companies, and some people have stayed working from home or work from home a few days a week and come in for the rest of the time. Lots of people say it works really well. You know, there's an argument to say, as long as you get the work done, does it really matter? What are your thoughts on working from home?
Well, there's a lot of people that come here on holiday and actually bring their laptops so they can work from home.
Yeah.
It's very common. My daughter does it. I have friends that do it. They come over, just say, oh, I've got a few days. I don't have to be in the office. I'm going to come get on a flight, come over, and I'll work from home.
Yeah.
I think this is probably all an additional effect of why people go online dating. Because if you're not meeting people at the office and having a chat, somebody asks, do you want to come out for lunch, or... around the coffee machine, updating, getting a bit of gossip. And if you are just sitting at home and there's not even the lady with the tea trolley coming round, it's just, you know.
When did you last go to work?
I do apologise. I am a bit old.
Brilliant.
There was... I think that all that
socialising.
Yeah, yeah. They're missing it.
You know, you're missing out.
We're going to have a generation of people that don't know how to communicate with people face-to-face because they're used to doing it online
and that's it. Mm. I think it's a real shame. I mean, there'll be people that like working from home for that very reason.
Yeah.
You know, there'll be people that don't want to interact with people.
Because there's nobody having to, I'm not having to deal with people.
Yeah.
They're not bothering me.
Yeah. There are people that just feel like if they're at home, they can concentrate, do what they need to do, and they'll get their work done, and then they can do whatever. I mean, that's the thing. There's no way of kind of policing or monitoring what people are doing at home. You don't know what time they're getting up. You don't know how many hours they're putting into their job. And their argument will always be, well, I'm getting my work done.
Yeah.
Mm. It's really difficult to...
I'm not sure I could be disciplined enough to get up at a certain time to do...
I'll be
sat looking, thinking, oh, I need to do the dusting or,
you
know, oh, I need to go get some milk or...
you know, career paths that you go down. I mean, delivery drivers can't work from home,
no,
can they?
No.
And nurses and doctors. No, nurses and doctors and people who manufacture things in a factory. I suppose, you know, if you're a small cottage business, you're doing that at home anyway. But a lot of it is going to be management, admin. There's a lot of things that you haven't got the choice or the opportunity to work from home.
I think at the end of the day, if people are working from home, you're obviously not having as much interaction as you would do if they weren't working from home, which again can be a good thing or a bad thing depending on the personalities of the people and if everyone gets on with their colleagues or not, all that kind of thing obviously makes a difference. But in general, depending on the work, depending on the business... people kind of bounce ideas off colleagues and as well as the social aspect, the chatting aspect, the dating aspect or whatever, you know, just that bouncing ideas from a work perspective you're missing out on. And people working from home, as much as people in the office, can probably feel a bit disconnected from everybody else.
Absolutely, yeah.
Yeah, I think that face-to-face and socialising aspect, even if it's just, you know, getting on a train, getting on your journey to work back and forth, and even if it's at the vending machine or whatever it is at work, that interaction, I think everybody needs that human interaction.
Mm.
All right, maybe not every day, but I think obviously because of the pandemic, it was a forced situation, but... as you said, but some companies have now restructured and that's carried on at least most of the week. For some companies, people are still working from home. Mm. But then more and more, for example, my sister-in-law, she's in HR in London and she's now having to go into work 3 days a week, whereas she was, you know, it was like once a fortnight.
Wow.
And then gradually they've brought them back more and more. And... she's got used to it, though. I don't mind once a week, but three times. I was like, you used to be full time.
Yeah, exactly. People do get used to it.
Yeah.
You'd assume that they're used to it from a positive sense of what they're getting from home that they weren't getting in the office.
Yeah.
And you can, I mean, obviously everybody's different, but you can only assume that that means that they're, you know, they're not necessarily working less. Well, no, yeah, working less, I'm going to say it, you know, because they're not getting up and sitting down at their desk at 9 o'clock and having their lunch from 1 till 1:30 and then finishing work at 5. You can bet that most people aren't doing that.
Yeah.
They may well be getting the work done. It's not that they're not getting the work done, but if they can get the work done whilst doing shopping, having a look on Facebook, having a call with their husband, you know, all those other things as well.
And doing
then
it all
happy
in
days.
Your pyjamas.
Exactly. Yes, exactly.
You haven't got any journey to
no
makeup.
Yep. Marvellous.
Yeah, no makeup. It's true. I get the attraction.
Yeah.
But
especially if you've got a long commute, I get that.
Yeah.
You know, some people travel an hour to work; it's an hour back. It adds to your day.
Yeah,
yeah.
So I understand.
The other thing about the sort of negative thing about
people coming to the office, of course, is, you know, it's nice to talk about the social aspect, but sometimes that can be a negative thing, mm-hmm. as in if you just want to get on with your work and someone wants to chat, that can also be difficult. You know, sometimes you have to say, I'm really sorry, I've just got to concentrate on this and get that done. Because again, if you're all in an office environment, it's very easy to go, oh, how was your weekend? And which is a lovely part of it. But at the same time, if they're not there, you're just getting on with your work.
Yeah.
So it, when you're used to having it one way, when it's different, I think you do notice it.
Yeah.
Notice the change. Okay. Have we got from a different point of view? Oh, I know. We've got 2 minutes left. This is a fascinating one to end on. Major Labour donor Dale Vince has demanded an end to compulsory meat and dairy being served in school meals. He's given more than £5 million to the party, and he's called on ministers to discuss the discuss changing the outdated rule that instructs schools in England to serve daily dairy and meat or poultry 3 or more days a week. He said some schools want to go further. They don't want meat and dairy on the menu perhaps every day of the week, or even at all in some cases, but it's the law at the moment.
Surely everybody's entitled to a balanced meal, and children
choice.
Really, yeah, children really should have a balance of everything, unless of course there's allergies. That's slightly different, but surely
I think there should be a choice.
There should be a choice. Yeah.
You know, there'll be children who have been raised as vegetarian or whatever, so there should absolutely be a vegetarian and a vegan option. But there will be children that are raised as meat eaters and should be able to have meat if that's what they want and that's what their parents give them.
Yeah,
just think it's choice. Isn't it?
Definitely. Yeah, they should have the choice every day rather than, oh, we're doing meat or whatever on Monday, Wednesday, Friday, and then you must all be vegetarian on Tuesday or whatever.
Yes,
you know,
exactly.
It's like just have a little of everything for everyone. Yeah. And, you know, I know you can't always cater for everyone, and as you say, there are allergies, and but give children the choice.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, them deciding that no meat or dairy at all, I think that's quite a radical thing to do when people have been used to having meat. If a school started that way, there'll be parents that will go, oh, this is fantastic, and would send their kids to that school for that very reason. But there'll be lots of kids that aren't vegetarian going, well, you can't take that. It's bizarre, isn't
it? I'm not concerned about the dairy, though. Surely children need dairy, calcium.
Well, we're at the end of the show, ladies. Thank you all very, very much for coming on. It's been wonderful. Have a great weekend.
You've been listening to a TRE production. If you've enjoyed this program, there'll be another episode waiting for you next week, right here on this platform, where you can also access our extensive back catalogue of shows and interviews. For more information on our live programming, social media channels and apps, and how to contact Talk Radio Europe, please visit tre.radio.
Since 2011, American Giant has been making everyday clothing with extraordinary effort. Not in far-off factories, but right here in the USA. We obsess over fabrics, fit, and details, because if you're going to wear it every day, it should feel great and last for years. From the cut of a hoodie to the finishing of a seam, nothing is overlooked. Our supply chain is tight-knit and local, which means less crisscrossing the country and more care in every step. The result is durable clothing, t-shirts, hoodies, sweatpants, and denim that become part of your life season after season. This isn't fast fashion. It's clothing made with purpose by people who care as much about how it's made as how it fits. Get 20% off your first order with code STAPLE20 at American-Giant.com. That's 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com with code STAPLE20.